So we are approaching the end of this beautiful text. Every verse so far has been very beautiful and takes us to the heights of meditation, if we can contemplate upon these ideas in this text. And so far we have studied that there is one consciousness which is everywhere, which we can call as God or Father in heaven, Brahman, which is the support of this whole universe, and the whole universe is a projection upon that. But then, for an average individual like you and me, it is very difficult to think of this God as all-pervading, formless, everywhere, you know, has no, you cannot, because any shape will limit him. Whether you call him as Jesus or Krishna or Shiva or Buddha, you are limiting him, that this is the shape. Any description, any form, any color, anything that you use to describe him immediately limits him. That if you say he's only in the church or only in the temple or he's only in this particular form or only in this book or only in this prophet, then you are limiting, because he is everything, everywhere. So if he is formless, all-pervading, every cell in my body is pervaded by that, every part of this floor, everything is him and him alone, then it becomes very difficult for an ordinary seeker to meditate upon this formless. I sit and say, you know, what form does he have? He's formless. How can I describe him? I cannot describe him. And so it becomes very difficult. And so the student must have shown some frustration. So the teacher, out of his compassion, shows us a simpler way of contemplating for those of us who are not ready to sit and meditate on this formless reality that is my own true nature and that is everywhere. It's very difficult. And so this particular verse is a simplification of the same truth for students who are not yet at that level where they can, you know, contemplate upon the highest truth. And for beginners or those who are starting on the spiritual path, this verse becomes very useful. I shall chant the verse. Ninth verse, page 81. Ninth verse, page 81.
Puram bhamsya nalo nilom baramahar natho himanshu puman ityabhati characharatmakamidam yasyaiva murtyashtakam nanyat kinchana vidyate vimrishatam yasmat parasmat vibho tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshina murtaye.
So the teacher says, I prostrate to my teacher who is the Lord, because he sees the Lord in my teacher. And that's why the last line of every verse, he says, I prostrate to my teacher, who is the Lord himself. Because ultimately, whatever knowledge we get from the scriptures, from the teachers, comes from the Lord himself. So he says, I prostrate to my teacher, to the Lord. Now, what is the description of this Lord? How am I to see him in my day-to-day dealings? When I deal with people, when I deal with difficult bosses, you know, there is a movie out called Difficult Bosses, where they want to kill their boss. You know, these people make a plan. So I have a boss who is terrible, or a husband or a wife or neighbor, or my child is giving me a hard time, is a teenager and doesn't listen, is always on texting, on the cell phone, even at the dinner table, doesn't want to talk to me. So how am I to deal with the day-to-day problems? You know, my stock market is going down, my house is broken, or somebody stole my car. You know, all these problems arise. So the teacher says, see the Lord everywhere. He says, let us translate, Bhuha. Bhuha means the earth. So there are five elements which constitute this entire universe: air, space, fire, water, and earth. And anything and everything you see is made of these five elements, whether it's the chair, whether it's the fan, whether it's the door, whether it's the plant, the animal, the bird, the fish, and my own body are all made of these five elements. So this gross body that we see, anything that we perceive, the mic, the chair, this pointer, Everything is made of these five elements. So what are the five elements? Bhuha means earth. So everything is made of earth, minerals. Ambamsi, ambamsi means water. So earth, water. Analaha, analaha means the fire. And there is fire in every one of us. That's why we can maintain the temperature, 98.4 degrees Fahrenheit. If the fire were to leave, if the temperature drops to 96, 94, then I have to go to the hospital. And if they cannot bring it up, then I have to go to the nearest cemetery. So the temperature, so that is fire. Anala actually in the Sanskrit has a very beautiful meaning. Anala means that which never says enough. That which never says enough. Now the fire, does it ever say enough? You know, there is a fire and you're feeding it firewood. Now human, you know, you feed him no matter how much great his appetite is. You feed him one donut, two donuts, five donuts, 10 donuts. He'll say, enough, enough, enough. I don't want any more donuts. So no matter, he may love donuts or it may be ice cream or it may be, you know, whatever he likes. But after a while, he'll say, enough, I am full up to here until the next meal, which may be 2 hours later. But a fire never says enough. You can keep on putting firewood. The more food wood it you put, the more its appetite grows. It says, give me more, give me more. So fire is anala, that never says enough. Then the next is anila. Anila means air. Actually, my name is also Anil, which means god of wind, god of air. So air is that, anila in Sanskrit means that which has no home. The air has no home, has no abode. It is no one place you can limit and say air is only here. Air travels everywhere. So earth, water, fire, air, and ambaram, space. Space, in Sanskrit, they have used a very beautiful word called ambara, which means cloth, which means covering. So space is like the covering, which covers and envelops everything. All the earth, the moon, the sun, all the planets, the stars, everything is covered by earth. So these five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and space, these are the five elements that we know. Then there are three more aspects of this creation, and that is Aharnatha. Aharnatha means the Lord of the day. So the sun. So the sun is considered as a separate aspect. So the sun, and then Himanshu. Himanshu means the moon. Himanshu means that which has cool rays. Hima means cool rays. So the moon, when you sit in underneath the moon, beautiful cool rays come. You know, the it's so pleasing. So the sun, the moon, the five elements, and Pumana. Pumana means the individual, me, the individuality, what we call as the mind, intellect, and vasanas. Because all of us have the same human body made of the five elements, we know that. And all of us have the same consciousness, the life principle that is common, that is there in all humans, animals, birds, plants, fish. You can call him God or Allah or Father in heaven or Krishna or Shiva, but it is one consciousness. So the consciousness in everybody is the same. The body, everybody has the same human body. Yeah, there are some minor differences of color, shape, fingerprints and all, but the essential human body is the same. So what distinguishes me from her and him is my intellect, my emotions, the mind, my intellect, my ideas, and my vasanas, my desires. So the desires, emotions and ideas, that is called me. That is me, the individuality, not the body, but this packet called the individual or the jiva. So this Lord of the universe is said to be made up of these eight elements. Five, space, air, fire, water, earth, the sun and the moon, and the individual. Also, some places, instead of the sun and the moon, they put energy and matter, because the sun represents energy and moon represents matter. So the idea is that there are eight aspects to this Lord. Why? Because the teacher says that everything you see in the world is nothing but the Lord himself. Ashtamurti Bhrit, he is the Lord of eight forms. How do you say that? Because I don't see the Lord in them. I see a mic or I see a chair. But Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary says that the effect is nothing but the cause. Like there is, you take a brown, you know, lump of clay and you make all different beautiful little clay, you know, you make a cup and you make a saucer and you make a beautiful jug and a bowl and all colorful. You put all colors and paint it and it looks so pretty. And it's nothing like that brown clay. You know, it looks so different. And you can never imagine that out of this brown clay, they could make this beautiful Chinese vase, you know, with all the shine. But ultimately, we know it may look different, but clay, everything that is made from clay is nothing but clay and clay alone. All gold ornaments are nothing but gold and gold alone. You may call them anklet or a bracelet or a necklace or a ring, but they are gold. So the Bible also says that God alone was. When He alone was, and there was nothing else, there was no air, space, fire, water, earth, nothing. There was no sun, moon. There were no individuals. And then He decided to create the world. And so that's what they said. He made the world in 6 days and the seventh day He rested. So when He created the world, then He could not be a limited being, a small little being that created this gigantic universe. That's why in our scriptures they say He is much bigger. The universe is a very small part of Him. Even though the universe is trillions of miles, He extends way beyond that. And it is said that out of He Himself became this world. So all air, space, fire, water, earth, the sun and the moon and the stars and the individual beings were all created out of Himself. And so they say if you want to see the Lord, you don't have to go very far. You can see Him in your friends, in your family. Person will say, I see God in anybody, everybody, but except my neighbor. Him I don't. Or my husband, or my, you know. But the reality is that every aspect, even in the gangster and the criminal and the thief and the murderer and the rapist, the God is there. Yes. The energy that we receive from Him, we misuse it. You know, when a person misuses the energy, then he becomes a murderer or a rapist or a criminal. But inside, the energy is the same. It is God alone. Who a person lifting a knife to stab somebody, where does he get the energy from to lift the knife? From the Lord. If God was not in him, he wouldn't have the energy. It's like the car. You know, you put gasoline in the car and that is the energy. Now you can take the car to the church, or you can take it to a bar, or you can take it to a house of prostitution, or you can take the car and rob a bank. Now the gasoline is not at fault. You cannot say, oh, because of the gasoline, I robbed the bank. No, the gasoline gave you the energy, whether you go to the church or whether you go and rob a bank. So the idea is that, as is said in the, Jesus even said, hate the sin, not the sinner. So everything is an expression of the Lord. And how do I worship the Lord? There was a great saint, Raman Maharishi, who said, Jagat Ishadhi Yukta Sevanam Ashta Murti Bhrit Deva Pujanam. How do I worship the Lord? He says, by serving the Lord who has eight forms. When you serve the humans, or when you serve the animals, or the plants, or when you take care of the environment, and you plant more trees, or you help somebody in distress, not with the idea that I am doing it, but with the idea that the good Lord who has given me the ability to serve, I am serving Him. So I see the Lord in the person I am helping. So that is true worship. Yeah, you can go to the church and worship or the temple, but worship should not end at the door of the church. Once I get out, then, okay, God, goodbye. I'll see you next Sunday. You know, that's how we are. Okay, I've done my duty. 1 hour I prayed to you. Now that's fine. I'll see you in a week. No. The idea is that as I walk out of the church, I see the Lord everywhere, even in the inanimate objects, not only in the living beings, but even in my possessions, my books, I should worship. I shouldn't throw them. The mountains, in our Hindu scriptures, they worship the mountains, they worship the ocean, they worship the river as the mother, you know, mother, because she's the one that feeds us. So the idea is that God is there everywhere, just by seeing him, you just have to change your vision. And then it becomes very easy. You know, whatever activity I'm doing in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, whatever you do, dedicate it to me. Whatever ability, whether I have the ability to speak, then I am thankful to the Lord. When I'm cooking and I make a beautiful dish and people praise it, oh Lord, thank you for giving me the ability to cook. If I'm an accountant or an engineer or a computer programmer, whatever I am, always remember the Lord. In Sanskrit, there is a very beautiful word called upasana. Upasana means worship. Now, how did this word come from? Upa means near. Asana means to sit. So, upa asana, to sit near. Everybody can see that? So what do we mean by sitting near the Lord? Does that mean that 24 hours a day I should just sit next to that in the temple and not do anything? No. Upa asana, to sit near the Lord, means to be with him at all times, to take him with you. God says, take me with you when you go to your work, when you leave your house, you say, God, be with me at all times. As I'm driving, I remember that it is him who is driving the car, as I am cooking, as I am swimming, as I am in the office. So take me with you and remember me. But what do we do? What upasana we do? Instead of sitting near the Lord, we do computer upasana. We're all the time in near the computer, surfing the net or now, of course, the people have computer in their telephone. You have an iPhone and that's a computer. And you are constantly, these people, it surprises me, people sitting at lunch, you know, where the surgical center I work, there'll be 8 or 10 people at lunch. And instead of talking to each other, each one is texting somebody far away. And I'm like, you know, there is a human, living human being next to you. You don't want to talk to him and you're talking to somebody. We have no time. So that is what we call computer upasana. We are always sitting in front of the computer terminal. And that's why that's what we call as terminal illness. We have no time. So they say, remember me. He says, remember me. And remember that this eighth form is the one that is shining. Everything that you see is that. And then he says, yasmat parasmat vibho, and all pervading Lord. There is no place. Somebody asked, you know, where is God? And the teacher asked, where is he not? Show me a place where God is not. He's there in the bottom of the ocean. He's there in the furthest reach of the space. He's there in the atom, even in the smallest atom, he's there as the electrons that are moving, the energy. Everything is that Lord himself. So he says, remember that Lord and treat others as you would want to be treated. As even Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So constantly remembering him, seeing him in all, and never forgetting that whatever I do to others, I am ultimately doing to myself. Because we are all one. You may say, well, I am different from her and different from him, and we belong to a different religion and different nationality and different color, and I am different from the dog, and then I am different from the fish, and I am different from the plant. But we are all made of 5 elements. Air, space, fire, water, earth. And there are only 5 elements that constitute. So we are dependent. You know, I cannot separate myself from these 5 elements, what they call as the Panch Mahabhutas. These 5 elements, the air, space, fire, water, earth, that extend everywhere, I am part of that. I cannot separate myself from the air, not even for 2 minutes. If I separate myself for 4 minutes, I become brain dead. I cannot separate myself from the sun. You know, if the sun were to stop shining, the earth would freeze instantly. I cannot separate myself from the moon, because it's the moon that nourishes all the plants. And that's what they say in the Bhagavad Gita, that it is the moon at night that nourishes and makes the plants grow. So I cannot isolate myself. So we are all part of this one cosmic being. Forget about the level of the consciousness. Forget about God or anything. But even at the body level, we are all connected. Even at the mind level, emotionally, I am connected with all beings. Even at the intellectual level. So even not even talking at the highest level, even at the physical level, I am all connected. And so seeing how the other person would feel, when I deal with that person, how would that person feel and how I would feel, constantly remembering that. This reminds me of a beautiful story. There was this marathon, you know, and these people were running. It was this Los Angeles marathon, 26 miles. And some of them had come from Africa and different parts of the world, very good runners. And they were running very fast. And there were like a few thousand people. And unfortunately, there were these last two people who were not as good. And so these last two were way behind, straggling. Everybody had gone ahead, and these last two people were running. And the one guy was last, and the other guy was second last. Now the last guy was trying to overtake, but he couldn't, you know, because he was weaker than the other guy. And so the second last guy, you know, they were almost at the end of the race, about a quarter of a mile left. And he starts making fun. How does it feel to be the last? How does it feel to be the last? He keeps teasing him, and this guy is trying to overtake. How does it feel to be the last, huh? You are the loser. How does it feel to be the last? So this person, finally, what did he do? He stopped and got out of the race. He says, now you know how it feels to be the last. You know, now you know. So he said, I don't want to finish the race. I want you to experience how it feels. So the point of the matter is that serving the world is the best way of worshiping God. Serving the world is the best way of worshiping God. That's why Mahatma Gandhi, you know, throughout his life, he called the lower classes and the poor people, he called them Harijans. Harijans means children of God, creation of God, or friends of God. So his idea was that even in the person who is sweeping the floor, or even the person who is picking up the garbage, or the person who is doing the lowest of the lowest jobs, there is Lord in them, and I should love him equally. And that's what he fought for, eradication and, you know, bringing equality and removing all this discrimination. And same thing was followed by Nelson Mandela when he fought for freedom of Africa, by Martin Luther King, who fought for equality, that all races are equal, all people are equal, everybody is one. So those ideas are what inspire us to work and see oneness in them. And that's what they say. Unless you see oneness in all, unless you worship everybody as the creation of the Lord, you will never worship the Lord. There was a famous saint called Tulsidas Ji, and he says in the Ramayana, he says, because he worshipped Ram as the incarnation of the Lord, and then Sita, who was Ram's wife, as incarnation of the mother goddess. That's why Ramayana is considered special, because it has a description of the Lord and the mother goddess when they appeared on earth. And so he says, every man and woman I see every man as Ram and every woman as Sita. So every man is God and every woman is the mother goddess. And that's why he says, everybody I see, I fold my hands and bow down. Siya Ram mein sab jag jani, karahu pranam jori jugbani. He says, folding my hands, I bow down, because all of you are the creation of my dear Lord, and everything is that Lord himself. And once you experience that, then he says, then it is easier to go to that highest truth, that I am that consciousness. Then we should not limit ourselves that I am this body or I am this individuality. Then you go through your meditation, you experience that everything is the manifestation of that one consciousness. And just as matter cannot be destroyed, you know, the air and earth and fire and space cannot be destroyed, but in reality, I am that consciousness. So stepwise, you start by I am this body, then I am this individuality, but ultimately you come to the conclusion that I am that consciousness. And no matter my body may die, I may drop this body, my mind, intellect may merge with that total mind and intellect when I drop the body, but I as the consciousness live forever and I am permanent. And once you experience that truth, in your meditation through studying this text and other beautiful texts, once you reach that, then such a person becomes fearless of death, because death cannot affect me. How can it affect me? It can take away my body, but I am that immortal consciousness who lives forever. And that is the final understanding, and it is a stepwise progression. It does not happen overnight, but through reading the scriptures, meeting with saints, and contemplating upon this truth, and then meditating upon it. And in our meditation, you always understand that I am that consciousness. And then let that not only happen only in your 30 minutes of the meditation, but throughout the day, that I am this body, mind, and intellect, but that is only a sheath, that is only a clothing. I am that consciousness. So it is a stepwise. So this particular verse helps us to see the Lord everywhere. And that is the beauty of this verse. Whatever, moving, unmoving, everything is that Lord shining. Iti abhati, it shines everywhere. So that is the beauty of this verse. We have a few minutes for any comments. Right, but just the fact that you have become aware, a few years ago we didn't even know that, you know, so at least now I know that there is an ego which separates me from the other. So even becoming aware of the problem, you know, at least you are on the way to the solution. Most people don't even know and they don't even care, but at least you are aware that I have the same ego. I'm not saying that I am any much evolved, but we all have that problem. But at least becoming aware that I have a problem. If you don't even know it, then you're not even going to bother to fix it. Like there is something broken in your house and it's lying in one corner and you didn't even know it, you know, but then one day you start, I have a fan that I need, and you turn it on and you find it's broken. So then at least now you know it is broken. Now you can take it to the mechanic or whatever. So similarly, I know that I have this problem, that is half the battle is won. Then one can, as you said, observe when this ego arises and when I, you know, feel. And also the ego is very peculiar. It also arises when it's been hurt, you know, when I've been insulted, or somebody didn't smile at me, or somebody didn't talk to me, or somebody, you know, talked to somebody else and I was standing there, ignored me. You know, that two of us go and then this person only talks to one person and ignores me. Then my ego gets hurt. Then one has to be alert and say, it's okay if he didn't talk to me, but I am not this ego. I am the consciousness. And whether he talks to me or not doesn't affect me. Why should it affect me? Because I am not this body. I am not this individual ego. I am that consciousness. So it's okay. You know, he didn't talk, so big deal. So does that affect me? Does that make, in the long run, does it make any difference? No. The person didn't smile at me, didn't say hi to me, or didn't, you know, kiss me goodbye when he left for work. And, you know, we get so hurt about with these things. But I think being aware of the problem is half the battle. Yeah, and it does not mean that you become like a stone or become like a rock. In fact, a person who evolves spiritually becomes more loving, more affectionate, because he sees everybody as my Lord. And so he loves everybody. But for himself, he becomes stronger. His heart melts for everybody else. Anybody who is suffering, he thinks that I am suffering. So he or she will go out and relieve the sufferings of others. But when it comes to his or her own body or his or her, he becomes strong and says, you know, it's okay. It's the nature of the body. The body is meant to go. The body is meant to die. You know, one day it will go. My mind, one day will be happy, one day will be unhappy. Intellectually, one day I'll be praised, one day I'll be criticized. I will not always get what I desire. And he understands that is the nature of that. But I am the consciousness and nothing happens to me. So he becomes strong when it comes for his own sorrows. But for others, like look at Jesus' life. He was so strong when he was being crucified, but his heart melted for that mother whose child had died, and somebody who was a leper, and somebody who couldn't walk, and somebody who was hungry. He fed them and, you know, nourished them and healed them. So their heart is full of love for others, but for themselves they do not So the idea is that God is there everywhere. Just by seeing Him, you just have to change your vision. And then it becomes very easy. You know, whatever activity I'm doing in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, whatever you do, dedicate it to me. Whatever ability, whether I have the ability to speak, then I am thankful to the Lord. When I'm cooking and I make a beautiful dish and people praise it, oh Lord, thank you for giving me the ability to cook. If I'm an accountant or an engineer or a computer programmer, whatever I am, always remember the Lord.